if you are scared about, you know, your kid strapping on the VR headset and so on, first test it yourself. Try it out, because I think this is what will decrease being scared and being afraid about what that technology is. Try it yourself. See how it feels, how it looks like, right? And then once you are more familiar with it yourself, you're able to kind of control and manage it better.
Welcome to the Sisterhood Club podcast, where we talk all things business, Web3, and NFTs. We're on a mission to educate, elevate, and empower women into the world of Web3. So join us on this journey as we learn together from leading experts. And remember, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. So please do your own research and enjoy today's episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sisterhood Club podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard, and normally Pam Caldwell. But as some of you may know, she has recently given birth. A new sister has been brought into this world, little baby Sky. So she is currently taking a bit of time off to be with her beautiful baby Sky, and she will be joining me for many more podcasts to come. But today, she apologizes. She would have loved to have been here, but she's got her hands full with a new baby. But today, I am very, very excited. I have been looking forward to this interview for a long time since it got booked in. So today I'm super excited as I am sat down with Patricia Howeis, also known as Chief Metaverse Officer at the Web3 Academy. Patricia is a Metaverse, NFT, DAO and Web3 consultant from Sydney with proven experience across industries delivering growth, marketing and community strategies. With over 8 years of experience in Metaverse and blockchain space, she knows the best platforms to successfully grow communities. Patricia has been analyzing NFT projects since 2021. So I am very excited to get stuck in for all of the things that we should be focusing on. So Patricia, amazing to have you here today. I'm going to be quiet now and hand over to you so you could introduce yourself, tell us a little about your journey into Web3 and what's brought you here today. So over to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here at the Sisterhood Club and share my story here with you. Thanks so much for this lovely introduction. I think you summarized it all quite nicely. I'm also actually a host and organizer at MVCon, which is the largest in real life metaverse conference in the Southern Hemisphere. And I love Web3 and the community and around like blockchain, crypto and DAOs and so on. And I really want to pay it forward and bring like-minded people together. And that's why, I'm getting the Sydney community here around as well together and created MV Sydney. So Metaverse Sydney, a meetup, a catch-up of people in that industry. And I'm also co-founded Power Women, which is a community to empower women in business and Web3. So, that's pretty much what I'm doing right now. And I think my story kind of started in, if you call the metaverse, or if you include augmented and virtual reality in the metaverse, then my journey kind of started in 2013 when I wrote my master thesis, and I got a colleague who brought a Google glasses from the Silicon Valley over, and I tried it. I'm like, oh, what the f***? This is amazing. I love it. This is exactly how the future should be like. And obviously, you know, you could see by then a couple of pixels and so on that were visualized there. But I'd envisioned that future of, you know, augmented reality glasses, for example, helping you and assisting you throughout the day and making your life so much better. So ever since, I've been immersed in like the AR/VR ecosystem, and I created an AR/VR ecosystem report about Australia. I created a augmented reality fashion prototype app where you could, that was before like Snapchat filters and so on, where you can hold your phone and you can actually enhance your fashion and who you are and self-express a little more who you are. And this is kind of where I was thinking, hey, if there are these virtual world or a blended experience between the reality and the virtuality, there are a lot of digital assets as well. And then, well, last year NFTs became quite popular, and so obviously that was a natural step to look into that market. And I played around a little bit and invested a little bit, so no financial advice here today, but so I felt like that was kind of the natural next step. And so I looked into the market, and what I realized is, hey, there are so many amazing projects out there, but they apparently have no success. And then there are these amazing successful projects. So what do those successful projects have in common? And I analyzed it and created the NFT marketing canvas and derived kind of my learning out of that. So yeah, really helping and assisting now the brands to onboard and to enter the metaverse, from strategy to helping them execute.
How exciting. Because like, see, it's really interesting. I think we're in a really interesting spot right now, because when I first started looking into NFTs, if I'm truly honest, I didn't really get it to start with. And I was like, why are people paying so much money for, you know, these JPEGs? What is it about them? And then when I started to dive into the technology, some of the projects that were coming out, their missions, like what they were trying to achieve, the purpose behind them, I was like, okay, there's so much opportunity in this. And that's what got me super excited. But you just mentioned something there that I really want to dive into, because I know you do a lot of consulting with brands, with founders that, you know, like you just said then, there's some projects that are going to succeed and there's some projects that unfortunately don't. And I'd love to understand from your years of experience, from really understanding this market, what is the difference? Is it the founders? Is it the mission? Is it the community? What is it? What makes a project successful and stand out?
Yeah. So it really is a mix and really depends also on your background. So if, for example, the founder team is super strong, then obviously your USP of the project will be evolving around that. But I identified in total 7 main key components that are kind of creating this a good framework around it. And first of all, that is the purpose. Really understanding why are you doing this, right? If you would think about it, if you're, for example, now creating a project, really, you need to be able to communicate, we exist because X, Y, Z. So really able to communicate why you're doing this. Reason behind it is, if you understand why you're doing this project, it will help you through the, you know, ups and downs of this kind of project, because it really is kind of a little startup that you're creating. So if you have this deep vision and mission behind what you're doing, the purpose, then it gives you also drive throughout more difficult times. And also, this is what will inspire the rest of the team that you will gather, or volunteers that you want to join, right? It's literally this meta area where you get people passionate about. And then from that purpose, it is deriving utilities, so benefits for your community, that you can provide beyond maybe the visual aspect. So obviously there can be some fandom items from popular people, from popular artists and so on. And that might be enough for that NFT project, because obviously the art is the utility. But in many projects, that's not all it. So providing that extra benefit, that unique utility, is something that will set your project apart from the other. Then 2 key components that you were already mentioning is the team. And then also connect it with a story. So it's not just enough, here I've been the founder of here and there and I've done this and this. No, it's about to create a compelling story of the founding team connected with the purpose. And then obviously it's NFTs, the hype around NFTs originated from more the visual and art side of things. So the assets, the visualization of the NFTs are really important, and they need to look stunning and amazing and connect with the purpose. You can't show, or you shouldn't show, like, I don't know, offense if you are, if your purpose is about empowering children or anything like that. And then as the last 2 points, it's really the basis of the entire NFT project is the community. It is about creating a strong community and fun. I realized like a lot of these projects nowadays are kind of losing the good vibe, you know. And Web3 was all about, you know, connecting with people, sharing, helping each other, building together, and having a good time. Literally, people who are in the NFT space are there to have a good time, not just, you know, to work or to see it very serious. So that, plus one last point, is obviously the luck. So this is something you can't predict, but sometimes you can be lucky and sometimes you're not.
Yeah, absolutely. That was absolutely fantastically laid out, by the way. And I would honestly agree with every single one of those points. And there's a couple of key things in there that I really want to pick out. Now, utility, that's been a word that has been thrown around a lot. And what I've noticed is sort of back in January, you know, you could literally probably squiggle on a piece of paper, call it an NFT, and it was being snapped up and sold, right? But times are changing. We are now in a bear market. People are sort of looking at the projects and going, okay, who are the founders? What are they offering me? What's the value behind the NFT? So in terms of like utility, and you said something really important at the start, you mentioned the word business. And I believe that that's what now people need to be thinking about when they're launching NFT projects. They're starting a business. It's not just going to be a 10,000 PFP drop. I think that those days are gone unless you are a very well-known brand or celebrity. So let's focus on utility. What would you like to see? I feel like Web3 is going to be so disruptive, but what sort of utility would you be like, wow, that's an awesome utility? Like, is there any like industries that you feel like could be really disrupted? I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, it makes absolutely sense. I think benefits and the utilities are really core and important. But before thinking about, well, what you can offer to the community and to your friends and family and everyone who you want to join your project, really, is to think about, why are people buying NFTs in general? Why should people buy your NFT, right? Well, really understand the people and the thinking behind it that will then help you and assist you into create your offering and your benefits towards it. So I identified a few of them, and happy to share them with you. For example, one is being an early adopter. There are some people in the game who are really just into test out new things, to try out, to be one of the first one and be seen as trendsetter. There are people who are literally just in the game for financial aspects. They are flipping NFTs. So don't be sad if, for example, you see people buying your NFTs and then selling them straight away, because their initial reason for this NFT is not maybe being part of the community. It is literally a financial aspect. So flipping could be one, or it could be a long-term investment. People believe in the vision of that project and want to hold it for longer and see how things are developing financially also for them. Some of them are actually in it because they love what you're creating. They love the community you created. They love the vibe. They love exchanging ideas and thoughts with you as the founder, with the community you created. So literally, this part of community, the sense of belonging, is very important to them. Then it's also, some people are just literally buying it because they want to showcase their taste, and there it's more about how it visually looks like, right? And how does their collection look like? It's like showing a bit their taste and what they like. And then there are people in it about because of the utility and the benefits that you're providing, right? Maybe they are actually in it because they get something they have never got before, or they had never access before. And then there are some people who really want to support you That might not be the majority, but they just like you, who you are, your journey, and they want to support you. And then there are a lot of other reasons, but these are kind of the core point. Often, yeah, there are obviously those people who are like, they want to flex. So if they have, for example, a boy and ape, they either were really early in the game, amazing, cool, and they show off, or they have lots of money that they can afford it. Nonetheless, they will, flex and show off. So, a lot of potential use cases. So once you have and understand, hey, there are a variety of these kind of personas that want to buy or can buy an NFT. And usually it is a mix of those motivations why people are buying NFT. It's not just one or the other. It's usually kind of a mix, and some people are more tending towards the one or the other. And then you can create utilities based on what I mentioned before in your vision and mission out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so with the sisterhood, what we're building is obviously we want to attract more women into tech and into Web3. So our messaging is very much focused around the Sisterhood School. It's an online growth platform. It's going to be educating women around, tech, Web3. We're going to be building a sort of university alongside it. So we're sort of really focusing our messaging towards women. And when it comes to women, because you spoke earlier about the Power Women community that you're creating as well. And one thing that we discussed before we jumped on and press record about how passionate we are about, making sure that this space is diverse and, we are bringing more women into this incredible world. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on how we go about doing this, because I think that when I first started looking into NFTs, there was lots of buzzwords, there were lots of acronyms, it was quite confusing. And certainly I could see that there was going to be some blockages that we're sort of going to have to overcome when it comes to bringing in more women. So love to hear your thoughts on that and perhaps how we can continue to make sure that Web3 is inclusive and diverse and continue to make sure we get enough people through the doors and keep on building.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely agree. It's a great mission. And I think the first problem when I joined, the first Discord groups and so on, it was the type of language that was used. Right. The bro, the sir, etc. That was a bit that didn't feel as inviting, or even at my name is very feminine on my handle, so people would see that it's a woman, but they still refer to me as sir, because I think they are not necessarily they didn't want necessarily to express sir as like the male version, but it became kind of a slang that they use, and so it is kind of it became kind of part of culture, of the NFT culture, rather than them on purposely naming me with not the correct gender. So I think it is a mindset, and just making people aware of that fact is crucial and important. So the language that is being used, but also just providing a safe space to exchange thoughts and ask questions. I realized, if you ask some basic beginner questions, for example, people will not get a nice response. So I think, finding a safe place for those kind of minorities is definitely important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it as well. It's like you just said then about jumping into some of the communities. We were speaking to another woman in Web3 the other day, and she said when she first jumped into some of the Discords, she was getting told to go back home and play with Barbies. And it's so shocking when you hear that. You think, my God, we're in the 21st century, people. Like this sort of stuff shouldn't be happening, but unfortunately it is. And we don't want to hear it, but I think that there is this just gender bias still, especially when it comes to tech. And my business partner and I, Pam, we've owned a recruitment company now for the last 5 years. We've been in the tech industry for the last 10. And we've seen firsthand that you will get a woman and a man apply for a job, and it will be the man that will get the interview. And the woman may not even apply for the job because she doesn't hit 100% of the skill set. So this is something that I'm super passionate about. It's definitely, I've seen firsthand, clients, they say they want to hire more women, but they have no flexibility. The woman wants to go and pick her kid up at 3:30. Well, that's not allowed. It's like, well, you can't want to hire women and not provide the right working conditions for women. So I would love to have a conversation around, you know, what brands and businesses can do to ensure that they are making it inclusive and diverse, and ensuring that we are creating these safe spaces, not just in Web3, but tech in general.
Yes, no, absolutely. This is exactly why we started with Power Women, to approach also businesses so that they can provide their staff and their female staff and minorities with upskilling opportunities in Web3, for example, right? To give them a safe space on, okay, we help you how to create your wallet, you know, a step-by-step guide. How can you experience, for example, being in the sandbox in Decentraland and really testing and hand-holding? Because some of these experiences are a bit technical, but I feel like once you got over this first hurdle of like creating it, for me it was literally creating a wallet and just trying and testing and playing around, was this, oh my god, okay, now I understand, and so on factor. So getting to that point and getting all the women in, towards this, that would be amazing. So absolutely, yeah, agreed and important. And what I realized as well in terms of the problem, it's not just, you know, picking up the kids from school. Obviously men need to pick up their kids from school as well, as 3:30, so it's not just that, but you know, also how do you divide the roles during the day. And then so many factors. What I realized as well, in terms of the, in Australia specifically, the discrepancy between people being are being female versus male, and leadership roles such as CEOs, directors, is shocking. So any initiative that is driving education in that space, helping with leadership, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, financial independence, is, I think, a great way.
Yeah, something that I'm extremely passionate about as well. And you're right, like, I would love to see more women in leadership roles, because, you know, women offer, you know, more nurturing, we're generally more empathetic. And I do think that that's what a lot of companies do need. We need more of that at the top. So I would love to see that. And I think it all starts with seeing more women at the top. I think this is part of the problem, is that you cannot be what you cannot see. So we need more women in these positions of power. We need more women in technology to then, you know, show the younger generation, like, hey, this is what it looks like. You know, it's not just some guy in a hoodie tapping away at a keyboard or just playing on a game. It's actually like you can be a strong, successful, powerful woman in technology, in a CEO, in a leadership role. And I think, yeah, seeing is believing, right? So this is why we do need more female role models, and really championing them, really getting them to use their voices, really coming together within a community to speak up and to be like, this is my mission, and we can all get behind one another. And I do think as well, like, over the years I've seen women compete with one another, and I really want to see us, you know, collaborate more, because we don't need to compete. And I think when we come together, we're so much stronger, and let's cheer each other on. Let's not try and push each other down, because there's plenty of room at the top. We just need to keep encouraging each other to get there. So yeah.
And women are so skilled in creating partnerships and collaborations.
Absolutely.
And Web3 and NFT, the NFT space is all about that. So it's the perfect space actually for them. And community management, right? This is where we can thrive.
100%. We've got an incredible community manager, Rach, and she's a mom, and she's just, you know, she's a single mom, and, you know, she's just an absolute powerhouse. And, you know, she just drops off her son every day, and she's incredible. So yeah, community management is so key. But I want to touch on something as well, because I keep having these conversations with lots of women, and they're a little bit scared about the metaverse. And especially, I keep having this conversation with a lot of people who are concerned with their children spending too much time on technology, or, you know, then they're concerned about, oh God, you know, what's going to happen if they put their, you know, VR goggles on, headsets, and they go into this world? Are they going to lose themselves? And I'm trying to sort of tell them that, well, think about it this way, you know, we kind of are in the metaverse already. Like when we're on Zoom and Skype, and even this now, it's just going to be an enhanced version of it. So how are you sort of overcoming questions? I think people are nervous about it. They're worried about people's mental health and people spending even more time on technology. So yeah, I'd love to jump into that.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people have this kind of dystopian idea about it, almost similar to like Ready Player One, if you watch that movie, but
yeah,
which
yeah.
doesn't necessarily, you know, show also the benefits and the beauty of the potential of that kind of technology. And when, if you are scared about, you know, your kid strapping on the VR headset and so on, first test it yourself, try it out, because I think this is what will decrease being scared and being afraid about what that technology is. Try it yourself, see how it feels, how it looks like, right? And then you, once you are more familiar with it yourself, you're able to kind of control and manage it better. I feel, because obviously there's no real definition yet, but for me, the metaverse is really the convergence between reality and virtuality. And it comprises a lot of technologies, such as augmented reality, virtual reality, online gaming, social media, etc. But the difference between the what we are currently experiencing is instead of looking at just things, it feels really immersive, like you're in it. It feels like you're there, and like hyper realistic, and it, really immersive. So it can be also a beautiful technology that helps and increases, for example, during for education purposes. Imagine that you could, for example, wear augmented reality glasses instead of having to read a book about the how your body works and the skin and, you know, the liver and heart and how all the circulation system and so on, how it works. You could look at it in augmented reality, have a real world body in front of you, and you could take maybe layers off, manipulate things, what happens if, and just play and create like experiential learning experiences, right? So I don't think that the metaverse per se is like a negative space. Yes, there might be some, like in Web 2 and the real world, there are dark areas. Having said that, I see this beautiful, huge opportunity for all like educational experiences and immersive experiences that are for good.
100%. And this is exactly why we need women shaping and paving the way to, you know, create the metaverse. Because if it was just left up to men, you know, we might not get this beautiful and wonderful world that you're visualizing in such a powerful way. So this is why we need to be involved, ladies. We need a seat at the table. But I'm conscious of time, and I'd love to sort of, I guess, one of my final questions would be, where do you see the future? What are you excited about? And what do you think Web3 is going to do for us all? And where are we going with all of this?
I'm excited about the premise about Web3 in general, which is really rewarding people of your community, of people who are early adopters, who join your project, who join your business, and to give back and let them being incentivized at the same time. I really love that. And at the same time also, so rewarding them and re-empowering them, having them with yourself on the table and having a say in terms of the direction of your project and really shape the project all together so that it becomes a project that is inclusive and everyone likes and loves. Obviously it needs a direction and so on, but this is what I'm really passionate about and think that is really important, and that gives me drive as well.
I love it. And you've created Web3 Academy for people who are curious about Web3, who want to get involved in it. So where can we direct people who want to learn more about Web3 in this new world? Where should they go? Where should they go to find out more about you and what you're doing?
Right. So I'm the chief metaverse officer there. I'm not the co-founder. But we launched a free email course to educate people about what the metaverse is, what blockchain is, what Web3 technology is, at a like self-paced kind of style. So if you want, you can just check out our website, Web3 Academy. We actually just signed a partnership with a huge player in that field, which we are hopefully able to announce soon, which is our goal, to actually educate people about these kind of topics in the spaces of the metaverse. So yeah, absolutely exciting times.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait for that. So hopefully by the time we launch, that would have happened and I can announce it and get everyone excited. But look, I could honestly sit here and talk to you all day. You clearly are so visionary, know your stuff in this space. So we'll continue a conversation, maybe have you back on the podcast when this partnership gets announced. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing, because you are definitely a role model in this space and someone to look up to. And that's what we need right now. So congratulations for all of the success in this space so far, and I look forward to working with you again hopefully in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Patricia. And for our community, please go and follow Patricia, check out our Discord, and lots more podcasts to come. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it. And if you did, please give a little share on your social. And if you have time, please leave a review. And I hope to see you next time. Take care.